WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a small town in southern Illinois. That's right, a tiny city on the southern border of our state is home to the universe's mightiest hero. In the town of Metropolis, Illinois, just a few blocks off Main Street, is a 15-foot-tall statue of the Man of Steel, as well as the Super Museum, which houses, you guessed it, all things Superman. Reset's been exploring the lesser-known museums around Chicago and Illinois, from the Surgical Science Museum to the Gemstone Museum in suburban Oak Brook. And last week, our intern Jules Yeager went even further off the beaten path, making a 5-hour trip to Metropolis and the Super Museum. I sat down with her to hear all about it. My first question was, is this as hilarious as it sounds?
It was even more hilarious than it sounds. Metropolis sort of looks like any other town you'd imagine in, you know, the outstate Illinois, non-Chicagoland area. It's, you know, it has a couple grocery stores, a gas station, some little shops, some thrift stores. And then you walk or drive down the main street of town and there is an old brick building like you'd find on any main street. But the trim is bright red, blue, and yellow. And in front of the county courthouse, there is a 15-foot tall bronze statue of Superman that is covered in vinyl.
I mean, did that not stop you in your tracks? Seeing that?
You have to take a picture with it. Everyone was taking pictures. Right. There were people standing in the road taking pictures with it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do when you see a massive statue of Superman. So, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but who even knew that Illinois had a city called Metropolis? I didn't.
No.
Why did you go out there?
So, I went out there to visit my best friend's great aunt and uncle, of course. And for the uninitiated, the comic book Superman lives in a town called Metropolis. Except in the comic books, it's supposed to be like a very thinly veiled New York City.
Okay.
It's kind of, you know, jokey. Metropolis, Illinois is named Metropolis for unrelated reasons. So the fact that they've co-opted it as a town of like 5,000, 6,000 people is pretty funny. And they know it's funny. They all, you know, they know it's ironic. But in 1972, the Illinois State Legislature declared Metropolis, Illinois, home of Superman. So outside, again, the county courthouse, because this is the county seat, there is a big red, yellow, and blue sign that says Super City, Metropolis, Illinois. It's huge, massive.
Wow, this is a real thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's very real. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
They've really leaned into it. There's the statue, the sign, the water tower has Superman on it. The museum opened in 1993. They've really committed to this bit.
Wow, I can't believe I didn't know this. So you have described the town, Jules, and sort of the, you know, the exterior space there. But I want you to take us inside this super museum because I'm very, very curious.
Yeah, so once you go inside the blue, red, and yellow building, you are immediately in the gift shop, which for a second I kind of thought was a whole museum. The entrance is way off to the side and it's, like, the gift shop is chock full action figures, shirts, magnets, lanyards. You can buy a Superman cape.
Oh, my gosh.
Shot glasses.
That's kind of smart on their part to have you step right into this massive gift shop.
There's Clark Kent glasses you can buy. Anything that looks like a rock being sold as kryptonite something, you know, classic. and then it's, you know, $8 to go through a little turnstile and go into the real museum.
Oh, okay. So once you get inside the actual museum, what's in there?
It's not too different from the gift shop. Actually, a better question would be what isn't in the Super Museum.
Okay.
It's just about every piece of Superman merchandise ever manufactured. The owner told me there are over 70,000 items in the museum, and that's just 15% of their collection.
Wow.
So upstairs, where you can't go, they have like the rest of their collection.
And 70,000.
It's packed. It is really, really dense. It's all that merchandise. It's a lot of historical artifacts from the various like TV shoots, movies. There are like hilarious looking wigs, these old wigs from the 50s that sort of look, you know, plastic. Boots, costumes, the telephone booth, that famous telephone booth.
Yes. That's got to be in there.
Oh, yeah. There are animation cells, which was one of the things I found coolest. And the owner of the museum was actually telling me that depending on the era that they're from and the certain scene that they're depicting, they can be, their like value varies really, really widely. Mm-hmm. They can be thousands of dollars or worth almost nothing, which was interesting.
Yeah. 70,000 items. I mean, that's a lot. And that could be overwhelming. I mean, but I'm curious how the collection got its start. Like, where did they begin?
So that's a great question, and it has an equally great answer. I talked to one of the owners of the museum on the phone the other day, and I'm going to let him take this one. This is Adam Siebert.
So my name is Adam, and my wife is Morgan, and her dad is Jim, who started the museum when he was 5 years old. When you go in the museum, if you look up, you'll see a lunchbox there. And it started with that one lunchbox, and he's kept it 65 years. And he's kept this lunchbox. You know, that's what started his whole obsession with Superman. It started getting out of hand. And then he realized, hey, some people would like to see this cool stuff. So he started charging kids a nickel to come into his room and see all of his Superman stuff. So, you know, from day one, he was an entrepreneur and knew he was going to do, you know, a museum and with Superman.
Obsession with Superman squared, right?
Yeah. The collection has actually traveled, even before it was a museum, all over the country. It's been to, like, I think the movie openings, Superman 2, I think, was the biggest one it was at. The Special Olympics it was at. There was a Smithsonian exhibit in Washington. But eventually, in the 90s, the owner wanted to put it in one spot and sort of chose Metropolis as that spot. Not because he had any ties to Metropolis, but just because it was Super City.
Oh, wow. So were there signs and interpretation that makes sense of all of this stuff?
Yeah, there were. It was, the overwhelming feeling is that it was just a lot of stuff. I think that it would have been really fulfilling if I were a super fan.
Haha. Yes.
Like, if I were someone who had gone in knowing a ton about the comics and a ton about the TV shows, like, this would be the place for me. It'd be like, oh, my God, it's the boots from the 70s, you know, whatever, whatever.
Right, right, right.
But there was actually some really interesting interpretation. It was very small, sometimes very clearly typed on a typewriter, on paper, pasted on the wall. You had to kind of look for it, which did make it interesting if you saw something, you were like, and what's that? You kind of had to look around and see if there was anything more.
To try to get the answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you have a favorite thing that you saw or that you learned while you were there?
I did. I loved all the costumes. There was a section on Supergirl, and they had from the original Supergirl show, not the CW whatever one that's going on right now or just ended or something. They had the flying rig that she used, mm-hmm. like, you know, the harness, which was funny. A phone booth was really cool. But my favorite thing that I learned was that Superman was actually a radio drama in the 40s. And
oh, I think I've heard that before.
Yeah.
He so cool.
Made his debut on the radio in 1940, I think.
So we've got something in common.
You have something in common.
Me and Superman. That's great.
And he was broadcast 3 times a week, so not quite as frequently as you are. And this is where, on the radio, Kryptonite was introduced as part of his lore. Mm-hmm. And it also, on the radio, that show premiered this famous phrase.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. The infant of Krypton is now the Man of Steel. Superman!
Oh, you're taking me back, Jules.
Don't say radio never did anything for culture.
Radio is, it's a pioneer in all senses of the word. Well, we've been talking with Reset intern Jules Yeager about her visit to the Super Museum in Metropolis, Illinois. And you can pay it a visit too any day, though, except Thanksgiving and Christmas. Thank you, Jules.
Thanks, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager, mixed by Ari Mejia, and it was edited by Dan Tucker. Reset catches up with culture makers, and if this sounds like what you're looking for, well, make sure to check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.